for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, September the 2nd, 1991. Final service of the Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Noel, Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the morning.
It wasn't really the subject that I would have chosen, but was the one that the Lord kept impressing on me to speak about. And so I wanted to give you a brief overview of how sexual sin can block your deliverance and can lead you into a life of bondage. Either your sin or the sin of your fathers. Back as far as 10 generations in the case of incest, at least 4 generations. You know, we talked about the curses going for the children's children and the grandchildren down 4 generations, and some Bible compositors say that it is at least 4 generations. It can go longer than 4 generations, but it always goes at least 4 generations, which is an interesting dissertation on it. In the King James Version, King James Translation, we see the word fornication. If you look up fornication in the Webster's New International Dictionary, it says it's voluntary sexual intercourse between unmarried men and women. Adultery is voluntary sexual intercourse between a married man and a woman other than his wife, or a married woman and a man other than her husband. And so we have all fornication is not adultery, but all adultery is fornication. Both are sexual immorality. The word in the King James Version that is translated fornication is porneo. This is the root word from which we get pornography. And it is the most all-inclusive word. If you want to know what it covers, just think about what pornography covers. From the Playboy magazine to all the way down to your hardcore, the most gross bestiality that you can imagine. That is porneo. Porneo, it says, to avoid porneo. Our brother Frank spoke yesterday on unnatural sex acts, oral genital sex specifically. I've heard ministers quote the scripture out of Hebrews. It says the marriage bed remains undefiled, and they interpret that as saying anything goes once you're married. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I mean, that's the devil's deception. Now, these are good men, and they're speaking this, and what they feel is the truth, but it is a deception that is included in porneo. I mean, you just have to think about what pornography encompasses. You don't have to dwell on it, but just think about it for a minute. And that's what God says is sexual immorality. And sexual immorality, you pay a bitter price for sexual immorality in this life. You know, let's look at some scripture. Let's look at Deuteronomy 5:18. And we see here, in Deuteronomy 5:18, it's a very simple statement. It says, you shall not commit adultery. And the word there in the Hebrew means adultery. It means that if you're married, you're not to sleep around with someone else's wife. I mean, that's what it means. And if you can go in Leviticus, and I can find you a number of statements to that effect. If we look in Exodus 20, verse 14, it's a companion scripture, and it says the same thing. It says, you shall not commit adultery. Let's look at, let's go over into the New Testament, for those of you who like to separate the Bible into 2 parts, and you feel that the old section of the Bible doesn't apply to you, that is, that's a misconception, but lots of people feel that way. You can also find it in the New Testament. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20. Let's look first at the latter part of verse 13. We'll come back. You need to keep your finger in chapter 6 because we'll come back to it several times. But it says, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And then we go over to verse 19 and 20. Is, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, who you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now when they say that you have a right to determine what you want to do with your own body, if you're a child of God, that is not true. You don't own your body. God owns your body. And Scripture also tells you that your mate owns your body. You don't have title to it. God shares the title to your body with your mate. Because when you become a coveted son of God, everything you own is his. Your mate, and if you're married to a believer, everything that God owns is hers. Therefore, she owns part of your body, if you're familiar with the blood covenant. So, you don't have a right to do with your body as you see fit. You have a right to use it as God shows you, and you use it for the glory of God. Let's look down now at verse 15. It says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall you take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two shall become one flesh. That means, you know that God considers anyone who sleeps around, either a man or a woman or a whoremonger. Or you sleep around, you're a whore, scripturally. Whether you're a man or you're a woman, a man can have a whoremongering spirit just like a woman can. And you take your body, which is a member of Christ, and join it to someone that has a whoremongering spirit, you become one flesh with them. Now, I will show you that in Proverbs, that during the act of intercourse, there is a dispensation of soul material. And so when you have intercourse with someone, you form a tie bond in the spirit. You become, and you can have an ungodly bond, or you can have a godly bond. Now, when you marry someone before God and become coveted with them, and you come together, you will form a godly tie, a godly bond. You will become one flesh. But if you do this outside of marriage, outside of the covenant before God, you will become one flesh, but it's an ungodly bond. Now, if any of you had sex with your mate before marriage, you will form this ungodly bond. And it will stand there between you and keep you separated so that your union will never be like it should have been, like God intends for it to be. And you need to repent of that. And ask God to break that ungodly bond that will keep you from having all God wants you to have. And so if you have sex outside of marriage, you will form ungodly bonds with these people. And they will sometimes plague you with memories, with lustful thoughts, and even drag you back into adultery. I remember a young girl who came to me. She was a minister's wife. She'd been a Mooney, had gone into bondage, and she picked up a spirit of whoredom. It kept dragging her down to the tavern. And her husband would get rather upset, and she would say, well, I parked the car in the back of the tavern so people won't see it. And she would feel this, she just She would feel this compulsion that she had to go down, or this compulsion, or when these men would call her on the telephone to meet her at the tavern, that she would have to go. She couldn't say no. And when we broke these bonds, she confesses this sin, and we broke the bond, we broke the curse of whoredom over her, and then we broke the ungodly soul ties. And when I talked to her about her and her husband, I saw them 6 months later, and she said she was completely free. I could sit up here and talk about this all day and tell you people that I've ministered to, that I've broken ungodly soul ties to the past. I've broken ungodly soul ties for both men and women who've been involved in adulterous affairs and could not break free. I've had in my Bible study in my hometown, I had a young girl who is now married, and she was trying very, very hard, but she was involved with a married man and could not break free of him. She just couldn't break free. He'd call her, and she would go. And she didn't want to go. She would try not to go. But she said something drove her, pulled her, until she went. If she did not go, she became sick. She became headaches. She just felt bad. She got depressed until she was driven, until she went. We confess this is sin. We broke the evil soul ties. She came under terrible conviction one night at a prayer meeting, at a word of prophecy was given, calling people to repentance. And she said she felt that if she did not repent, that she would literally die. And I had to, we went out and sat in my automobile in front of, it was in the basement of a home, and she wouldn't talk about it in the house. She was afraid somebody would hear her. She went out and sat in the automobile, and then she confessed this sin, and then I prayed for her, and I broke the soul ties. And she was free. She never had to go back again. And so these things are real, people. And they will bind you not only in the area of sexual bondage, will also bind you in the area of control, allowing other people to control you, to control your actions, to do what they want you to do, to say what they want you to say, and so forth. And these are ungodly ties. They can also come by witchcraft. Let's look at, let's look at 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians 3 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." And so when you open yourself in sexual immorality, you open yourself to destroying spirits. We will see that also in Proverbs. Let's look at 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. This tells you how you were redeemed, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like gold and silver from the aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, what does Paul say to do? Go back to chapter 6 and look at verse 18. He says, flee sexual immorality. Flee. Every sin that a man does outside the body is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. And so Paul says flee. And I deal with people who've been in bondage to pornography. Have been in bondage to pornography. And I tell them that once they get set free, that they're not to go into the store and see what kind of trash they're selling on the what Playboy is, what kind of trash, and go over and look at it and look at the covers and say, ha ha ha, I'm not in bondage to you anymore, because that stuff will reach out and grab you. I really don't see how young men watch television. I don't own one, but every time I watch one and watch the commercials, they're all based on sex. And I walked into the St. John's Hospital there in Kansas about a month ago, and I walked in one of my patients' room, and on the television set up there was a couple involved in intercourse, Obviously, they were in two women, man and woman, in bed together, covered by a sheet, and they were obviously having intercourse. And I looked at the nurse. I said, "My Lord, what is that? That's fornication on the screen." She said, "That's as the world turns, Dr. Null." And this was a soap opera, and they were having intercourse on screen, I mean, covered with a sheet. I mean, didn't leave much to imagination. I turned it off. And that's what was being piped into my patient's room. And I protested to the hospital administrator, so they took all the television sets and put Nintendo games in. So most of them are just these little men in which they jump the ball around. They don't have the real witchcraft ones, thank God. I went through them and made them send all those back. Praise you, Lord. Make no sense. Make no mistake about how God feels about sex outside of your marriage. Let's look at Revelation 21. Chapter 21, verse 7 and 8. I love to read the verse above it. It says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all lies will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, you're in pretty bad company if you're sexually immoral. I mean, they got you in there with the abominable ones, the murderers, the sorcerers, idolaters, and liars. And liars aren't in very good company. I mean, how many of us like to tell stories? How many of you like to gossip? I mean, you like to gossip, talebearer. I mean, that puts you in the liar category. Let's look over on the other side at Revelation 22, 14 and 15. 14 says, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." That's the New Jerusalem. "But outside are dogs, sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie." Again, you're in pretty bad company and you are outside the New Jerusalem. So God, he doesn't feel real good about people that are sexually immoral. Now, careful reading of Proverbs will show you that in sexual immorality there's a transfer of soul matter, or a disbursement of your soul. Let's look at Proverbs 6. Let's look at Proverbs 6:32. It says here, "Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul." Now, let's go down to Proverbs 7 now. In Proverbs 7, it's a rather long story, and we'll take a minute and we'll read it. It says, "My son, keep my commandments and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commandment and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them to your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her lips. At the window of my house, I looked through the lattice. I saw the simple. I perceived among the youth a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the corner, along the street near her corner. He took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet did not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times she was in the open square, lurking at every corner. She caught him and kissed him, and with an impotent face she said to him, 'I have peace offerings with me. Today I paid my vows, so I came out to meet you and to seek your face, and I found you. I've spread my bed with tapestries, covered linens, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and alcoves and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not his home. He's gone away on a long journey, taking a bag of money with him, and will not come home on the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Now, immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, until an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would take his life. Now, the word there translated life is nephah, which is the same word translated soul in 632. So, you can take either your life or your soul. Listen, now children, therefore listen, my children. Pay attention to my words of my mouth. Don't let your heart turn aside to her ways, not straight to her path. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending into the chambers of death. You can see that the adulterous woman can cause an arrow to strike your liver. You go like a fool to the correction of the stocks, or an arrow can strike your liver. And that means your insides. Now, if you don't think that you can pay a terrible price for sexual immorality, you don't know anything about disease. AIDS, my son pointed out to me that AIDS is the new syphilis. 50 to 70 years ago, if you caught syphilis, you would die. 75% of the people who caught syphilis before the advent of penicillin died. It took about 20 years to kill them. Some of them died quickly, and some of them died slowly. But tertiary syphilis affected the heart, affected the kidneys, infected the intestines, and it affected the brain. Dementia. And the insane asylums, we had large insane asylums in every state, and three-fourths of the people in the insane asylums were there because they had what we call paresis. They had Lewy's paresis. That's syphilis of the brain. You know, people didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want to call it syphilis, so they called it Lewy's disease. And that was a polite word for syphilis. And when you wanted to talk about it and people didn't know what you were talking about, you could say he has Lewy's or Lewy's venera. But actually, it was a syphilis. Now, AIDS has no cure. It will kill you in 10 years rather than 20. It almost invariably causes encephalitis. And 99% of the people who catch it will die. That's as much as we know about it now. There's a lot of evidence to show that it can. There's some evidence that shows it can linger in your body and that you will not build antibodies against it. And therefore, your HIV test does not turn positive and you can be contagious. And you can spread it to your wife and your mates. You know, sin has innocent victims. AIDS is the price of sin. And sin has innocent victims. They say, well, what about all these people? This poor little kid that got the blood transfusions when he had his open heart surgery and he died. Or this poor little kid that's a hemophiliac and he'd been before they knew how to test for AIDS and he took these blood transfusions and now he has AIDS and he's dying. And I say, sin has innocent victims. You don't believe that? You look at the children of an alcoholic. You don't think sin has innocent victims. Look what happens to the poor child that's a bastard. Not his fault, but he sure pays a price. Or a child who's victimized by incest. Not their fault, but they sure pay a price. I mean, sin has innocent victims. That's sad, but it's true. And the Bible says sin has innocent victims. The price of sin. So AIDS is going to revolutionize the reason that AIDS is such it makes the headlines now is number one, it was first detected in homosexuals, and number two, and therefore that gave it civil rights, and number two, the morals of the country have changed, and suddenly people are saying, you mean that we must become moral again or we will die. And that's There are whole sections of Central Africa that AIDS has devastated. Whole portions of Central Africa. You go into Kenya, into Uganda, they have lost a whole generation of people. A group of physicians went to Kenya and talked to the medical school, to the physicians at the medical school in 1985, and they presented to them about AIDS, and they laughed them off the stage. They hooted them off the stage. They said, this has been our sexual practices for the last 400 years. Don't tell us AIDS is causing it. AIDS is caused by this. Where was AIDS 300 years ago? And they may have changed now. I don't know. But I remember reading this. I was really shocked. Educated people. But AIDS is spread heterosexually, along with being spread homosexually. Almost all the AIDS in Africa is spread heterosexually because the moral climate over there is entirely different from this country. And it is expected that a man would have four or five mistresses and frequent prostitutes very frequently. Of the prostitutes in Kenya, it's estimated 100% of them are HIV positive. That's just an aside. But that's the price. Let's look at Proverbs 5. There's another long section, Proverbs 5, 1 to 23. And it tells you about, this is about adultery also. We won't read the whole thing, but I want to read to you, starting at verse 7. Therefore, hear me now, my children, do not let the words, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, that's the harlot, and do not go near the door of her house. Lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. And that's the price of adultery. Your honor there, or your vigor, your strength, your vigor, or your years. It will steal years. Lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labor go to the house of a foreigner. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. And you say, I have hated instruction, my heart despised reproof, I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to hear those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. And then he gives you an exhortation. Drink water from your own cistern. That's what Paul says, everybody ought to have their own mate. Here it says, drink water from your own cistern and water running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad and streams of water in the street? Let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth as a loving deer and a graceful dove. It says, don't sleep around. That's what it means when it says, drink water out of your own cistern. Everybody ought to have their own wife. Praise God. And husband. Sexual immorality brings us under the curse of the law. Let's look back at some of the curses of the law. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 28. Glenn Church touched on this, but Deuteronomy 28 is the promise of rewards for obeying or disobeying the law of God. Now, the first 14 verses of the promise of blessings, of the good things that's going to happen. And it says, all these blessings shall, starting at verse 2, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city and in the country, and the fruit of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in and when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. Number 8, the Lord will command the blessings on you and your storehouse and all which you set your hand to. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. He will establish you as a holy people to himself. And so on it goes until verse 14. And then verse 15 says, It shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to carefully observe all his commandments and statutes which I command you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You can't run fast enough to get away from them. Cursed shall be you in the city, cursed in the country, cursed is your basket, your kneading bowl, cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of... Cursed shall be you when you come in and when you go out, and the Lord shall send cursing and confusion and rebuke all you set your hand to do until you're destroyed, until you perish quickly. And the Lord shall make the plague cling to you to consume you. He will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe itching, burning, and with the sword and the scorching, and with mildew. The heavens over you shall be bronze, the earth shall be iron, it won't rain. Be defeated before your image, your carcasses will be blued, and on it goes. I just get depressed when I read all these curses because they go on for 68 verses. And there were 14 verses of blessings and there are 54 verses of curses. Now these are the curses of the law. And about in Acts 15, they held a large conference in Jerusalem to see which of the Gentile, the Jewish law, referred to the heathen believers, the heathens who had been converted and had come in and were not of Hebrew descent. Let's look at Acts 15 now. When I did a commentary on Acts, I could quote all these dates to you, but if I don't keep my notes, I just don't remember all the dates. But this stuff is all dated fairly carefully. But let's look at Acts 15, look at verse 19 and 20, and then verse 29. Now, James, the great Judaizer, has just given a prophecy. And then he says, therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but we should write them to abstain from things polluted by idols. That's idolatry. From sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. Now those are the things that will cause the curse of the law to come down on you. Now let's look down here. In verse 29, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled. And why things strangled? Because it's still got the blood in it. And from sexual immorality. Now, these are the things. Now, if you look, that covers almost the entire law. It doesn't cover the ceremonial sacrifices, but they were completed in Jesus Christ. And you will not lose your righteousness over what you eat. It will just destroy your body. Now, if you, I once did a study on some years ago, the dietitian asked me if I would give a talk. To a group of dietitians and nurses that worked for me in the health department. They had what they called a healthy dinner, and everybody brought some healthy food, and we ate outside on the patio, and then we had a local come and talk to them about how to stay healthy. And they asked me if I would talk to them, and I said, oh, I'd be delighted to. So I talked to them about the Jewish law, the Jewish dietary law. And then I compared that to what we tell people now that they should eat to stay healthy. And I was able to show them that God had been there, that this Jewish law was the footprints of God, that he had been there 3,000, 4,000 years ago.
Hebrew law, Doc.
Hebrew. Thank you. Praise your Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That the Hebrew law, that the Hebrew dietary law, if you follow that, you won't have heart trouble. You won't get your arteries all plugged up. You won't have all kind of digestive disorders. I mean, it's a perfect low cholesterol diet, depending on insulin. It's perfect low cholesterol, high in protein, high in fiber, and high in complex carbohydrates, which is the ideal diet. And when I got through, the head dietitian said, Dr. Noel, I was raised on a pig farm. said, my father still raises pigs. And she said, I have a hard time accepting this, but I do have to agree that what you say is right. And so it doesn't include the dietary law nor the sacrificial law. The sacrificial law was completed in Jesus Christ. Hebrews tells us that. But other than that, it includes everything else. It certainly includes all the sexual laws, all the conduct laws. A brother, I gave a talk, a teaching here a couple of months ago on the curse of whoredom. And I just want to read that and comment on it. Because the curse of whoredom is so tied into sexual immorality. Look at Hosea chapter 4. In Hosea chapter 4, we find that the Hebrew people have rejected God and are worshiping foreign gods. They're worshiping Baal. They're going up to Asherah in the groves, which were just really whorehouses, to a fertility god where they had sacred zonites, temple prostitutes, who offered sacrifices to the gods, and you brought your sacrifice and had sexual intercourse with the temple prostitute, temple priestess. And this was basically their religion, and this was supposed to increase increase the productivity of your fields. And if you really wanted a real blessing, you carried a lamb up, and the priest came out and had ritualistic intercourse with your ox in the field, and that was really supposed to do it. Bestiality. These things were all established in the Rosh Hashanah. I think that's the way it said about me in high school. I could torture one poor word 10,000 ways. Papers, tablets. These things were all established and are written in case any of you are interested. But idolatry brings on the curse of whoredom. It says in verse 12, my people ask counsel, their wooden staff. The staff informs them, a spirit of whoredom has caused them to stray. And so now, you see, idolatry brings in, and if you have problems in your family with sexual misconduct, you most all that have passed down, you almost certainly have the curse of whoredom over your family, which comes in because of idolatry. In these two things intertwine so much, it's hard to separate idolatry and sexual sin. They almost go hand in hand. Now let's look over in Romans. Our brother pointed this out to us yesterday, and I saw something in it I'd never seen before. I've read this lots of times. Let's look at Romans 24, starting with verse 22-20. Romans chapter 1, I'm reading the wrong title, it's chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that were made, even the eternal power of the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He says, well, all you've got to do is look at the creation around you, and you'll have to know there's a God. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God and were not thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Possessing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And because of this, therefore, because of their idolatry, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust in their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Therefore, God gave them up for the curse of whoredom. Those who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than Creator who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up for vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn with lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty for their error, which was due. And it goes on down and says, God gave them over to a reprobate mind because of idolatry. Idolatry will bring the curse of the law. It will bring you into sexual immorality. Now, Leviticus 18 forbids incest, homosexuality, and other sexual sins. Glenn read these. I won't repeat those. But I think that you all realize that homosexuality is wrong, that incest is wrong. Incest is the hidden sin in families. I minister to at least 2 women a month for incest, and I don't do a lot of deliverance at home. I'm an intercessor. I have intercessory prayer groups, but I guess maybe I pray for someone for incest maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks. Someone will come in and ask for prayer. And they never tell me that they have incest in their life. It hurts so bad, and there's so much shame and degradation attached to it that they can't bring it out of their mouth. God has to tell me by word of knowledge, and I have to ask them. I said, "You victim of incest?" And invariably the answer is yes, and it varies as to how much they have been subjected. I ministered to a young lady a month ago who had been victimized from the time she was 6 years old until she was 17 and left home. She had great resentment against her mother. More, she was able to forgive her father. Her mother was the one she couldn't forgive. You know why? Mother knew it was happening and did not protect her. As a matter of fact, the mother blamed her. The mother blamed her. It wasn't Dad's fault, it's your fault. He said, "You know, you're a bad girl, you're a sinful girl." And she knew that this girl was being used. She had a hard time forgiving both her mother and her grandmother. And then she knew that when she left, that her younger sisters would be abused. But she ran away from home when she was 17 because she didn't want to be abused anymore. The other girls were also abused. Before it was over, I ministered to all of them and set them free from this curse, from the bitterness and the unforgiveness for her parents and grandparents. Of the girls, there were 4. 3 of them got free. 1 refused to forgive. She just refused to forgive them. You know, you can talk till you're blue in the face, but if somebody says, "I'm not going to do it, I'll never forgive them, I'll never forgive them, I'll hate them till the day I die," I say, is it worth committing suicide for? Because this thing will kill you if you do not forgive. And is it worth? He said, "They ruined my life. They ruined 20 years of my life." I said, "Is it worth from ruining the rest of it? Because if you don't forgive them, it's going to ruin the rest of your life." And so, sex is wrong. Outside of marriage, sex is wrong. Unnatural sex is wrong. It brings all kind of things. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you've had sexual relations with anyone outside of marriage, including your husband, I'm going to ask you to confess it. I'm going to ask you to hold up your hand or stand up or be pointed out. You bow your head, and I want you to confess it to God audibly under your breath. I want everybody to look straight ahead. Not because, you know, we got, Win Worley used to say we got some nosy folks in here, and you might be just seated right next to the notice one. I don't want you looking to the left or right. Not that you nosy, but that person next to you might be. So everybody look just straight ahead, and I want you to confess it very quietly to God under your breath. And then we want to break the soul ties. We want to break the soul ties. If you've been married, if you've been married and you're divorced, you may have ungodly soul ties with your mate, with your ex-mate. You need to break any ungodly soul ties. And all we're going to break is ungodly ties. And we will specify ungodly soul ties. And we're also going to break ungodly soul ties to anyone who has dominated you. Sometimes you can have soul ties to parents that have dominated you in your life. They dominated you, controlled you by witchcraft, controlled you by coercion, by witchcraft. And they have soul ties, and you can't seem to break loose from them. They seem like they reach out from the grave and still control you. And we need to break these soul ties. And then we're going to call out some demons. The one thing that will block deliverance is unforgiveness. It says in Matthew 6:14, says, if you do not forgive your neighbor his trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. So if you have conscious unforgiveness in your heart, then you're still in your sins. You know that most people in this country say the Lord's Prayer to their own damnation. They say, Lord, forgive me my sins, as I forgive those who trespass against me, or by the same measure as. And every one of them, and so many of them got unforgiveness and hate, they have unforgiveness and bitterness in their heart against people, and they don't forgive them, therefore God doesn't forgive them, and they're still walking in their sins. They don't understand. You must forgive. Praise your Lord. Let me read you one other verse that I have not read, and I did want to read. And it's 1 Thessalonians. And all of you to open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians. You know, Paul had to write the 1 Thessalonians and tell them they weren't fornicating. I love the book 1 Thessalonians because it's so straightforward. And if you live by it, 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul says, finally then, brethren, well, this is the first verse, we urge you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more. Just as you receive from us, now you ought to walk and to please God. For you know that the commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, from porneia. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the heathen who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such as we have forewarned you and testified. For God did not call you to uncleanliness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who's given us his Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and says, you should love one another. And verse 11 is one of my favorite ones, that you should aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your hands, as we have commanded you, that you may properly walk towards those who are outside, and that you should lack nothing. Praise God. I wanted you to have that, because to me that is the... I read that. So now we're going to... you have to forgive, just as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. Praise your Lord. Say, dear Lord... with honesty of heart, humility of soul, and conviction of spirit, I make the following confession. I've sinned against you and disobeyed your word, whether it be through willfulness, ignorance, or curiosity. I now repent of these sins and ask you to forgive me through the blood of Jesus Christ. But by an act of my will and in the name of Jesus Christ, I close all those doors which I have opened to Satan. And I now ask you, dear Lord, to help me renounce these things and cleanse me in body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name. Lord, I renounce the occult. Lord, I renounce all false gods. All seeking of knowledge away from you. All dependence on talisman, good luck charms, and other sources that do not depend upon you. Oh Lord, I promise that I will destroy all foreign gods, such as the Buddha, Mexican sun gods, signs of the zodiac, Indian, American Indian dolls, voodoo dolls, Egyptian anchors, pentagrams, or other abominations on my person under my control. I break all curses, hexes, spells, jinxes, vexes, charms placed on me from any occult source. I break the curse of illegitimacy. 10 generations back off my family line. I break the curse of idolatry. Renounce any oaths. I, my ancestors, ever made to any false god. I renounce any initiation rite in any club, brotherhood, lodge, fraternity, sorority, or any order which is of demonic or witchcraft origin. Dear Lord, I confess that I have committed sexual sins. I do repent and ask forgiveness. I confess that I have committed the following. Here, you just wait on the Holy Spirit and you very quietly name anything that you've committed in the past that you've not covered with the blood of Jesus. And I claim cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I accept your forgiveness and cleansing according to your word. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I notify you. I am reclaiming all areas that I have previously yielded to you. I now close these doors forever. I claim freedom from sexual sin and lust. I bind you in your host and command you to leave me now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I have another confession to make. I have not loved, but resented certain people. I confess this is sin. I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them. I now forgive anyone that you have ought in your heart against. You need to confess to God now, very quietly, anybody that you've got all in your heart against. You know who it is. We'll wait quietly and let the Holy Spirit bring to mind. Lord, just bring to mind now, Lord, the people that they need to forgive in the name of Jesus. Anybody, either living or dead, God brings to mind that's hurt or disappointed you. I do now forgive myself. Very important, people, that you forgive yourselves. Praise the Lord. The devil will try to keep you in condemnation. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. You redeem me by your blood. And I belong to you. I want to live for you. I confess all my sins, known and unknown. I'm sorry for them. I renounce them all. I come to you as my deliverer. Lord Jesus, claiming the promise in Joel 2:32. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Lord, you know my needs. That thing that's binding me, tormenting me, defiling me, that evil, unclean spirit. I call upon you, Lord Jesus, to deliver me, to set me free. Satan, I renounce you and all your works. I loose myself from you. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave me right now. Amen. Now, people, what I want you to do is to take a couple deep breaths and just exhale. And I'm going to call out some spirits. I want you to keep both feet flat on the floor. And I don't want you praying in tongues. I just want you to come against these spirits in your mind and tell them to leave you. Just push them out with your will. Set your will against them. And say, you've got to go. I've been set free of you. You've got to go. Praise the Lord. We come against the spirits of fornication now in the name of Jesus. We come against abortion and abuse. We come against adultery and anal sex. We come against this barren and bestiality and burning passions and bondage in the name of Jesus. Satan, I come against you now in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against all spirits of fornication. I come against all sexual immorality and fornication in the name of Jesus. You turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus. I come against you. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I say, be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus. You can't hold these people in bondage anymore. Turn them loose now in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose. I come against all spirits of rejection in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits of rejection in the name of Jesus. All spirits of rejection. Rejection by mother, rejection by father, rejection by friends in the name of Jesus. Rejection by spouse, by children. Come on out in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn God's people loose. Turn them loose now in the name of Jesus. All you rejection spirits. All you spirits of rejection. Turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus. I come against all the spirits of deep hurt now. Deep hurt in the name of Jesus. I come against all the spirits of deep hurt in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, turn God's people loose. Come on out, deep hurt in the name of Jesus. You can't stay there anymore and make them feel worthless and unwanted. Worthless and not in the name of Jesus. I come against a worthless spirit in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. All you rejection spirits. All you lust spirits. All you lust spirits. In the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of lust. The lust of the eye. The lust of the flesh. And the pride of life. Lust. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. All you lust spirits. All you eye spirits, all you spirits of lust in the name of Jesus, turn God's people loose. Come on, out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Out, line up in rank and fall and come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against all lust spirits. I come against all lying spirits in the name of Jesus. All spirits of lying in the name of Jesus. I come against fear. I come up against legion fear in the name of Jesus. Come on out, fear, fear, legion fear, bondage to fear, bondage fear, in the name of Jesus, witchcraft fear. I come against all fear, fear of not being loved, fear of not being wanted, fear of water, fear of dark places, fear of dying, in the name of Jesus. Come on out in the name of Jesus, all you fear spirits, come on out, fear, 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 in the name of Jesus, come out, fear, in the name of Jesus, you're bound. Turn them loose now. You can't hurt God's people anymore. Come on out in the name of Jesus. All you fear spirits. Come on out. Fear. Fear. Come out. Bondage. Bondage to fear. All you bondage spirits. Come on out. Bondage to eating. Come on out. Bondage to eating. Bulimia. Come out. Spirit of bulimia. Bondage to eating. In the name of Jesus. Come on out. All you overeating spirits.
Come out, obesity. Come on out, obesity. The spirit of obesity in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose. All you bondage spirits in the name of Jesus. Come on out, the God of the belly. The God of the belly in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose. Come on out now. All you idolatry spirits, the God of the belly in the name of Jesus. The God of the belly, greed, greed, greed. The God of the belly, I bind greed in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind idolatry in the name of Jesus. Come on out in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise. Come against bitterness. Come against bitterness, the spirit of bitterness, the root of bitterness. Come on out, root of bitterness. We bind you in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose. Come on out, bitterness. Come out, root of bitterness. Root of bitterness in the name of Jesus. Come on out, bitterness. Deep hurt, bitterness in the name of Jesus. Come on out, deep hurt and bitterness. Come out in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Come out of them. All of you in the name of Jesus. Come out, deep hurt, bitterness. Avarice, 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 bitterness, avarice, murder, anger, rage. Come on out, all you spirits of murder and anger and rage in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out in the name of Jesus Christ. All you spirits of murder and anger and rage in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on. Turn them loose now. Come out of God's people in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out in the name of Jesus. All you people. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Come on out. Pride. Pride. The spirit of pride. The spirit of pride. The haughty spirit. Come on out, haughty spirit. The Lord rebuke you. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus. All haughtiness in the name of Jesus. Come on out. All haughty spirits in the name of Jesus. Come loose now. All haughty spirits. Pride. Stiff neck. Pride in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. All you stiff neck people. All you stiff neck. Pride in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Come out in the name of Jesus. All you stiff neck pride people. In the name of Jesus, all you stiff-necked spirits, turn God's people loose. They don't want you anymore. They don't want you anymore. Praise you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, all you vagabond spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Come on out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out, all you rape spirits, all you deviant spirits, all you perverse spirits, come out for spirit of perverseness, spirit of rebellion. Come on out, rebellion. Come on out, bitter spirits, rebellion spirits in the name of Jesus. Come on out, witchcraft, for the sin of witchcraft, for the rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as a sin of idolatry. Come on out, all you stubborn spirits in the name of Jesus. All you witchcraft spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose now in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. All you self-righteous spirits, all you bondage spirits, spirits of alcohol, spirits of drugs, spirits of sorcery in the name of Jesus, all you sorcery spirits in the name of Jesus, all you idolatry spirits in the name of Jesus, all you martial arts spirits in the name of Jesus, come out! Come out in the name of Jesus! Turn God's people loose! Turn them loose now in the name of Jesus! Praise you, Lord God! Turn them loose in the name of Jesus! Come out of them in the name of Jesus! Come on out in the name of Jesus! Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out. Antichrist spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Praise you, Lord. Spirit of false compassion. Spirit of false compassion. Come out. Come out. Spirit of false compassion. Turn God's people loose. Come on out. All you false compassion spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Come on. Come out now. All you deviant spirits in the name of Jesus. All you anal sex spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All you spirits of prostitutism in the name of Jesus. All you infirmary spirits, come out. All arthritis, come out. Come out, arthritis in the name of Jesus. Come out, all arthritis spirits in the name of Jesus. All destroying spirits, come out. All spirits of heart attack. All spirits of death. Come on out, death spirits. Come out, death spirits. All you destroying spirits. Come out, destroying spirits. Come out, spirits of Parkinsonism in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All false religion spirits, come out. All religious spirits. All spirits of false religion, come out. Come on out. Come on out. You deceptive spirits. You deceiving spirits. You Pharisee spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All you lying spirits in the name of Jesus. All you lying spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Come on out. All you lying spirits in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise God. Praise your name, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Praise your Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Anorexia. Spirits of anorexia and bulimia. Spirits of anorexia and bulimia, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out now, all you spirits. Thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's hold up our hands and praise God now. Praise you, Lord. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, Lord, cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. Cover them with the blood of Jesus, Lord God. Fill them now, Lord. Just fill them full, Lord. Oh, Lord, I loose the spirit of wisdom and understanding, Lord God, of counsel and might and knowledge and fear of the Lord. Oh, Lord, let your blood flow over them, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit fill them, Lord God. Fill them with your anointing, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Fill them, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Play the Oh, the Blood of Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we thank you for these days that we've had together. We thank you, Lord, that we've heard things that will prick our minds and our understand and give us a greater understanding of you. We thank you, Lord, that you've put a desire in our hearts to be that vessel without spot and wrinkle. For your word says that you will have a church that's without spot and wrinkle. And we thank you, Lord, for the different ways and areas that you're showing us to arrive at that place in you. Most of all, put a hunger and a desire in our hearts, Lord, to achieve unto that place. So that may be the desire of our hearts. Father, we thank you for the ministries that's been here to minister. We bless them. Thank you, Lord, for those that have been here and have gone, and those that are here and will yet travel. We pray again your blessing and your anointing upon them and over them as they journey to the place of their abode. Until we gather again, Lord, in this place or in another place, in the days that lie ahead, to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Messiah, our King, Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. And to Him we give praise and glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen, amen. Father, we bless the food that's prepared for us. Make it health to us this day. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother, can I say something?
If you want anything from the book table, get it immediately, because the book table is going to disappear. And then take care of your food so that we can get the kitchen then cleaned up. And all of you that can help us as soon as you eat, why, I appreciate it very much.
Let me say something. I have some tapes back there and some books. You can have them for half price. And if you don't have money, I'll just give them to you. Okay? Because I want to bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.